Good morning, church. Hey, good morning. Wanted to comment that yesterday morning we had 8 people for the prayer thing. It was really good. And also I want to thank the Lord returned Patrick back. We prayed for you, Patrick, and look how good he looks. Gosh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And of course we have Luke and Christina. Continue to hold them up in prayer. Today's topic, or just as we continue on and we're talking about prophecy and prayer and thanksgiving, is called Trial Plus Prayer Equals Thanksgiving. Trial Plus Prayer Equals Thanksgiving. And the scripture that I had for this is Deuteronomy 4:7. And while he's putting it up there, there it is. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near to us whenever we pray to him? Now, this was a promise to Israel. What other nation is so great? And Israel is probably, I've never been there yet, but it's like 100 miles wide and maybe 250 miles long. And this small nation is that God has decided that he's going to be near to them. There's a divine closeness, that he hears their prayers. And I sort of compare that with GCC. We're not really big, you know, but we have his nearness. Every time I come here, we feel the Spirit of the Lord here. We're meeting on Wednesdays, Saturday mornings, whenever it is, the Spirit of the Lord is here. His presence is with us. So he hears our prayers. And but sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't pray unless I'm in a trial. If I'm in a trial and I got a test and I got some kind of challenge, it sort of brings me into a place of prayer. And I was reminded of a friend of mine. He shared it in public, so I can say it, Malcolm Lee, about 50 years ago, when, or maybe longer than that. He was going through a difficult time in his marriage. He'd not really committed himself to God, and he says that he got in his pickup truck in Florida. He says, I drove, and I drove, and I drove, and I came to out in the country to a place that was nobody else around, like a dead-end road. He said, I laid on the seat of my truck, and I just started crying. I started weeping, and I started crying out to God, God, if you're out there, help me through that. And he said that there was no flashes of lightning or anything like that. But as he drove back, things started getting better and his life changed until eventually he made a commitment to the Lord, came to the West Coast, met his wife, and has a tremendous ministry. But the thing that got me was that this happened over 50 years ago and he still remembers it. He remembers this moment. And it stayed with him. And it was a testimony of now. As we all heard it, we're looking at this man that we all admire. And here he's talking about he was broken and how God heard his prayer. So that's sort of where we're at here, is that the Lord puts us in positions, in situations that we cry out to him. And as a result of crying out to him, we receive. We receive a blessing. We receive something, a life change. And I was looking for an example of this, and I came in Jesus feeding the 5,000 in Matthew 14:14. And it says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. Just continue to 15. If you haven't got it, just keep going. I'll just read it as I have it here. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. And Jesus replied, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. There's like 5,000 people there. And Jesus is saying, feed them. Can you imagine if Wives, if your husband brought, you're preparing dinner and he brought like 20 guys with him and said, feed them, I'm going to put you in a situation like, what? And this was the situation. Jesus said, feed them. And in one of the other gospels, it says, well, we can, it'll take 250 denarii. We can go buy food and we can bring them and we can bring some food back up here to feed them. But in this particular case, he said, Jesus replied, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. Feed them. And then the disciples replied, we have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. They answered, bring them here to me. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Do you think this was a testimony they talked about after this? Do you think they told this story about Jesus said, feed them. Feed 5,000 people. All we got is a couple of fish and some loaves of bread. And he's saying, feed them. But do you know what happened? They did. They fed them. Jesus said, feed them. They didn't know how they were going to do it, but they ended up feeding everybody and had a surplus left over. So many times in our own life, and we're wondering the same thing. How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? But Jesus blessed the bread. I forgot to just talk about that. Jesus prayed. They had a need. Jesus blessed the bread. He prayed a prayer to the Lord. And then the food was multiplied. And the men did what he called them to do. And it's future testimonies. I mean, we read this now. I read it. Doesn't this encourage you when you read this story? When you read about him, Jesus doing this? It's so encouraging. That happened, what, 2,000 years ago? The testimonies of what Jesus Christ has done in your life. And we've been talking for the last few weeks about prophecy and thanksgiving. Thanksgiving and prophecy. We're able to speak into other people's lives by what we've experienced in our own life. It's the things, the trials that we've gone through, or the questions, how am I going to do this, or how is this going to turn out? And it always turns out pretty good. It always turns out sometimes better than you thought. Sometimes you don't think it turned out well at all, and then somebody you respect comes along and says, boy, that was really good. That was very good. I remember Marcia shared that a few weeks ago, I guess, maybe a few months ago, no, a couple of months ago. And I was wondering, you know, just how are we doing here? Pastor Joseph is on a sabbatical. Marcia and I are here every week. We bring a different style of our ministry, different expression of the Lord's presence and how we move in it. And I was just sort of wondering about how are we doing? And a woman came up to Marcia and said, I am so glad that you're here. She said that I've just been coming just sort of out of obligation, and now I really enjoy coming here. I really enjoy the family, and I enjoy with the spirit that I feel. Man, I heard that. It just made me feel really good. I mean, I went home, and I think I had some wine with dinner. You know, this is really, it's time to celebrate. Let's open up that champagne we got at Costco. Let's have some champagne. But it's the trials. As we go through trials, and we encourage one another and we speak to one another, because there's always, trial is prayer. Silent prayers, whatever it is. The Lord says that we just, even in our mumbling and our groaning or whatever it is, driving down the freeway and you're late for work and traffic is there, and you might be growling and muttering to yourself at these people that are cutting you off. Who knows? It might be words of prayer going up. The Lord's hearing your prayer. And sometimes, how many times am I worried and wordy, and I get to my destination on time? And one time, I remember I was going to church in San Francisco, and I said, oh, I got to get there. And I got off the freeway. They're doing construction. I said, oh, I don't want to stand. And they had the little flags and, like, wait here and then turn the sign around and then go. I says, oh, I'm going to take a shortcut. So I went to make a shortcut, and then there was problems over there. And I said, I should have stayed in that line. And I finally got to church, and I said, oh, my God, I'm 15 minutes late. And I pulled in the parking lot. And all of a sudden I said, oh, the church, this doesn't start at 9:30. It starts at 10. I was 15 minutes early. And God spoke to me. You know what he said? I am time. Robert, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I am time. So put your trust in me and don't worry about this. Because I must have probably taken at least 30 minutes off my life. Instead of living in 103, I'm going to be 102 and 365, 4 days and 23 hours and 30 minutes. Pretty good there. So Marcia is going to piggyback on this as we're going to team teach. And she wants to talk a little bit about whatever she talks about. Yeah, she bailed me out last week.
As usual.
Good morning. If you see me writing at times during worship, when I start to worship, I start hearing things from the Lord. Last week, it was that story I told you about driving down the freeway at the end of Christmas, our Christmas trip to L.A. I hadn't thought of that in years, and it came to me while I was sitting there. But I knew it was something that I should share with you. And that just happened a few minutes ago again. And it fits into what we're talking about. I know I've shared with you about being in the hospital and the woman next to me just bothering me for 3 days. Everything that happened in the bed next to me bothered me. That she had a room full of visitors all the time. She couldn't hear. The TV was cranked up to max. It was just, you know, and I was really sick. Robert had to call an ambulance for me. I had an infection, and if it hadn't been a weekend, they were going to start thinking about removing things because the infection was so was moving and taking over. So I was really shut down. I mean, I remember laying in the bed there and just feeling like there weren't any lights on in the room because I was so shut down. I didn't want anybody to touch me. I didn't want to hear anything. I didn't want to see anything. It was really a difficult fight at that moment with the infection that I had. So next door to me is this woman who's actually dying from emphysema, and she has to have these breathing treatments every 2 hours. They bring this big machine in, and it makes lots of noise. And the room is always full of her family. And all this is good, except at that moment, for me, it was just everything about it bothered me. And she's the woman that I stood up after about 3 days. I stood up one night to make it across the room to the bathroom. And the Lord told me to go over and ask her if she knew Jesus. And at that moment, I looked at her, and I saw her wrapped in chains. She's one of the only people I led to the Lord. Just walking up to somebody I didn't know at all and asking them that question. And she did receive the Lord. I don't know how much longer after that she lived. But what I wanted to talk about was, in the midst of that illness, the Lord spoke that to me. Were you there when that happened? Yeah, okay. I did it, which for me is a really hard thing to do. Robert is much more gregarious than I am, and he'll just walk up to people and offer to pray for them. But I never do that. I'm more shy, and so it's hard for me, particularly a sick person next to me, to walk up and just ask them that question, but the Lord told me to do it, and so I did it. And she came to the Lord. I don't know how much longer she lived, but I know she went to heaven because she received the Lord that night. But what happened to me was the next morning I woke up filled with gratitude. I was thankful about everything. And at that moment, I was healed. I began to get better. It was still another 4 days, I think, or 5 days I was in the hospital. But that's when I turned the corner and began to recover. So there was a connection between what we're talking about, obeying what the Lord said to me, experiencing the gratitude, and healing results from it. I think that can be in any order. But, and we talked about this last week, the chosen people in the Bible, they're all people who obey the Lord and give thanks. And they continue to affect many lives around them with the kingdom. That's how it works. And I wanted to, we were talking about trials. A lot of times, like for me, that was a big trial, that illness, because I didn't have control over it. I couldn't just say, I'm going to get well now. That wasn't working. And there were a lot of prayers for me, and I know they were taking effect, and that's why that, but it manifested in that sequence of hearing the Lord, obeying him, feeling this incredible gratitude, and then beginning to get better. And I remember, Francis, you said to me, maybe 6 months ago, you said, in fact, you stood up and said it to the congregation. You said you had realized that the trials you had in your life were the things you needed to learn. Do you remember that? It was great. It was a big moment for me because I felt so proud that you had reached. That's a incredible moment of clarity to see that. I mean, I think we all have those moments, but we don't have them all the time. And to see it so clearly that the difficulties in your life were actually to give gratitude for the difficulties in your life because they were the things you needed to learn at that time so you could grow, so you could go on and mature as a Christian. And that's, you know, we've talked about the egg, the experience of pecking your way out of the shell. That's it. In order to do that, and that's God's concern with us. It's not that we're showered with money or any of, you know, or that we get everything we want. But it's that we grow inside that shell and manage to peck our way through to the light. That's what God's concern is. And that we're strengthened. Our soul is strengthened. That's the little bit of immortality that we receive with the breath of life. That's so important. And our trials lead us. Our trials are us actually pecking our way through that shell. We do it through the difficulties we have. And it's the gratitude that emboldens us, I think, that energizes us, that fills us, because it brings the Holy Spirit. So it's the gratitude that gives us the energy and the power to do that. So it's a constant sort of motion, I think, like waves hitting the sand. But that is a great time about Christmas, because Christmas is a time of gratitude. It's a time where we can be thankful. Start with Thanksgiving, which is, and isn't it just about the beginning of Advent, I think? It's where we start the process of giving thanks and we're giving thanks for the birth of Jesus. Because there isn't anything more precious in our life than that.
Amen. Amen. Interestingly enough, another example of trials reaching Thanksgiving is that Sunday night, Dan and I went to the Big Cal basketball game, had a really good time, and I was feeling really good. And Monday, I says, oh, man, I'm feeling very good. I'm walking the dog. I just have a lot of gratitude. Last Sunday was a perfect day because for the first time in my life, I did three things in the morning. I had the English congregation, then I had the Mandarin congregation, and then we had the wedding right after that. And then we went to the basketball game. And I said, I'm still alive. I said, man, I woke up on Monday, and I says, I'm still alive after all that. And and you worry about that stuff. You know, oh, I hope I get this right. And I don't know if they got married. We're trying to figure that one out. I think that during the translation, I'm not sure if I waited for them to say I do. I didn't know. But they were already married, any man? They were already married. They had a really good time. But on Tuesday, I'm out driving around, and all of a sudden I get to Home Depot parking lot, and it's like trying to park in a parking space and get out. I said, I'm starting to feel like I'm driving like an old man. How am I this? And I go inside and I do some stuff. People treat me nice because like an old man. And then I says, I was really hungry too, and I see McDonald's. I said, oh, I'm going to pull in McDonald's. Oh, I'm not going to pull in that driveway. I'll go the other one. Uh-oh, it's a one-way around. So I'm pulling in the exit, and I got cars coming behind me. I said, I'm driving like an old man. I got to get home. I just really felt like an old man. I got really depressed. And then on Wednesday, I went to Bible study, and it was really good. And they talked about Samson and all the mistakes that he made. And they said only twice he ever prayed in the report we have in the account of Samson. And it says he's in the Biblical Hall of Fame. And here was an imperfect person that God used. And I says, okay, I don't know about you guys, but Scott and I can understand this. If he can use Samson, he can use us. Amen to that. So I was praying about, okay, what am I going to... So I came to a place I felt really good. I said, okay, Lord, I need something I need to talk about. And I'm praying, All of a sudden, like Marcia said, I remember this movie called The Perils of Pauline. I saw it in 1947. I was 10 years old. So I wonder if I have the moments down here. I had it all written out. I guess I didn't put it on my notes. But I figured out the days. But it comes down to about 32 million minutes ago that I saw this movie. I saw it. I came to Oakland to visit my dad. I was 10 years old. He had left my mother. It was one of the major happy times of my life when we had an opportunity to visit my father because we didn't do it every year. And this movie, we're going to see it, and it was, I think, at the one of those big theaters in downtown Oakland, Fox or the Paramount or one of those. And we're going to go see it. And I went with my stepsister and my own sister. And for the first time that I could in my life I can remember, I had more than one thing at the snack bar because we didn't have very much money, so we usually got a nickel or a dime to buy one thing. But my dad, when we'd visit him, he'd spend money on us. And so he gave my stepsister money, and I had like popcorn and a drink and a piece of candy, and I was so happy. And we're seeing this movie. It's called The Perils of Pauline. Does anybody know what the word, any young men back there know what the word peril means? What? Hey, that's very good, yeah. Give me a hand here. Exposure to injury, loss, or destruction, grave risk, jeopardy, or danger. And they use it in a sentence, they face the danger of falling rocks. That's peril. So this movie is about this a true story about this silent film star. And back in the early days of the movies, silent movies, she'd come into See, but getting a role for a dramatic role, and they wouldn't give her the role as a dramatic actress. So she managed to get one of these movies where they're throwing pies all the time. And she did such a good job, they decided to put her in movies. And what she did, she made these serials where she'd face these situations where they'd tire to the railroad tracks. And the train would be coming, and the train would be coming, and she'd be laying there screaming on the railroad tracks. And the people in the audience would be saying, oh, no, no, no. At the last minute, her hero would come and free her. And people would applaud. They made movie after movie after movie of Pauline's perils. Every time it was, she's trapped in a house with a burning fire, or there's rocks falling off a mountain going to kill her. And she's always rescued. And people come to see this. Why? Why do people come to see this? Because they're sharing in her perils. They're sharing in it, and they know she's going to come out fine at the end. She's always rescued. She never dies. There's something about that. There's something about people that want to share in what you're going through, your trials. We as Christians, we know that. We know that we're sharing it as trials, but we know that the Lord's going to pull it out. And we know we're going to heaven. Does everybody in here know they're going to go to heaven when they die? If you know you're going to go to heaven, put your hand up. And if you don't put your hand up, I'm going to come and pray for you. Okay. Okay, because this group, we're all going to heaven. That was the good news. So here I am at this movie, and I remember I was walking. I went back to the restroom or something, and I was walking in this theater. And I looked down, and I'm walking. It was a beautiful theater. They had the movie was going, and it was funny and music. Betty Hutton was the star, and I really liked her. And I'm walking down. I can remember it just like it happened yesterday, this moment. I'm walking down, and I'm feeling really good. I'm feeling really good because you know why? I was watching the movie. I love movies, and I was going fishing tomorrow. My dad would take me fishing. I loved to fish. Whenever I would visit him, he'd always take us out to the Delta to fish for catfish. I don't know if we ever caught any, but we always went out there. And I felt so good walking down there. And I was thinking about that. And I was thinking, okay, here I am. And guess who? Harry Truman was the president. Harry Truman was president, and the Republicans hated him. He fired General Douglas MacArthur, one of the most popular generals after World War II. He's the one that conquered Japan and all that. And he fired him, and people were talking about impeaching him. They're going to impeach him. The Puerto Ricans tried to assassinate him. There was a group of Puerto Ricans because he was something about the statehood. They tried to assassinate him. And you know what happened? It was one of the best days of my life. I was going fishing. I wasn't even worried about that. I had no care at all about the circumstances around. And that's sort of where the Lord's calling us to be. As members of the kingdom of heaven, we're supposed to be that way. I mean, they're arguing about the president, these things. Hey, we're going fishing. We're going fishing. And man, I just thought about that. We are going fishing, right? Scott's a fisherman. Patrick's a fisherman. We're all fishermen. We're always fishing for those people. The young men back there are all fishermen. They like to fish, and fish in the Spirit. They're fishing all the time because people see the power of God on us. He sees us. We don't have to go out and have a big deal. All we do is just treat people with kindness, treat them with love like we are treated. We thank them. Say you're welcome. In Deuteronomy 4:7, we are His chosen ones. This little church, this little body here, we are God's chosen ones. We experience His divine nearness. He's near us all the time. Our prayers are heard. And there's one thing that sort of like gets in the way. And Marcia, she had a scripture, and she didn't talk about it, but I'm going to. 36:11. Psalm 36:11. In Psalm 36:11, the psalmist writes, probably David, may the foot of the proud not come against me, nor the hand of the wicked drive me away. May the foot of the proud, my pride, may my pride not come against me. when people don't treat me the way that I think they should treat me. Because that's what it is. Sometimes if you know, we're in a trial. God's put you in a trial with a person because that person does something to you that causes you to be better yourself. Maybe they're competing with you all the time on your job or something. You find, they're always trying to take my clients away from me or what? So you find yourself working harder. And something about that, you have to have it. So it's your pride. But he's already promised he hears all of our prayers. He takes care of us. He's near us. And the hand of the wicked will not drive me away. So those kind of situations that you think, well, I'm between a rock and a hard place here, and I don't feel good about it. As Marcia shared, I don't really feel good about this situation. I don't feel well, and this woman next door is making noise with those machines and stuff. They're just trying to keep her alive. I remember that evening, I was with her, and she had all these little machines, and she'd walk like this. She'd walk from the bed to the bathroom like this, and we had curtains between the beds. So she was coming back from the bathroom, and I was sort of sitting there watching her to make sure she'd be fine, and she was going like this, shuffling along, holding all of her tubes and things were going into her. All of a sudden, she stopped, and she disappeared because I saw her go that way, and the curtain was between us. And then she had that opportunity. The Lord told her to go and pray for that woman. The woman received the Lord. You know what happened after that? The next day, they said, we think that what you have might be contagious. They moved her into a private room right on a corner. We had beautiful views. It was over at Kaiser in Richmond. It was a private room. And so all of a sudden, now that her trial was over and what she had done had taken place, the Lord had a good place for her, a place of thanksgiving where he thanks us and thanks us all. So we have some time here, but... you have something you want to share in here? It's okay.
There was something I wanted to say that I wasn't looking at my notes. I read last week about the Iroquois. I was reading this thing, but one of the things it said, which really impressed me, they never ask for anything in their prayers. They prayed every day, particularly when they started in the morning. They prayed. And they had one God, the Iroquois tribes. There were five tribes altogether. But they never made a request. They only gave thanks. That's all. And then I also read it about the Maori in New Zealand. They as well. It was like a wrong thing to ask for anything. You trusted God to bring what you needed. You only gave thanks in your prayers. I've been thinking about that for several days. I've been thinking about how that works and how to turn my struggles into thanksgiving instead in the way that I spoke with the Lord. I think it's a really important part. It really impacted me when I read it. And so I've been thinking about it for days.
Marcia, you were going to ask.
Oh, right. I thought, I know we were there yet. So I was wondering if there are people here, if you're struggling with anything during this time period. Is there anybody? You were. Till, yeah, what? You don't have to tell me what it is, but... Come in. So that's a powerful statement. I don't think there's anything more powerful than gratitude in the midst of difficulty, because it's so much harder to get there than it is when everything's easy and you just go, hey, everything's cool. But when it's not easy, that's the sacrifice that you make in your faith in God. Amen. Good testimony.
How do we deal with trials?
So the other part is, I'm not sure how far you want me to go. The other part is to get prayer when you're in those struggles, to pray with others and to lift it up to the Lord. And that we can all do that with you. And we can do it in, we can share with you the struggle, and we can share with you your gratitude. So, Father, we ask right now for your strength and your blessing. We lift those difficulties to you that have brought the foot of pride against us, or the hand of the wicked to push us aside. We lift those to you. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for those difficulties that strengthen us, that give us greater light and greater encouragement to break out of the shell that wants to cover us, wants to hide the light from us, because it is there. And you so freely pour your love and light out upon us. For God so loved the world. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Trials are from the Lord to build relationship. This is sort of funny about that. I was writing it down here. Trials are from the Lord for growth and relationship. It increases our ability to hear from the Holy Spirit. Trials bring us to prayer, to thanksgiving. Thanksgiving comes to testimony, and testimony to encourage others, to be prophetic. We talk about what God has done in our life, in the lives of others. And that encourages them. I mean, if this was a church and all you people were perfect, I wouldn't be here. How could you hang out with all perfect people? You'd find yourself trying to be perfect like they are. You try to, I want to do this, I want to do that. We talked about the emperor with the no clothes. I think Micah is the one that revealed that one. How everybody didn't want to embarrass the emperor because he was walking around in his underwear, because he was saying he was had this fabulous robe on. So finally a boy said, hey, the king's not wearing any clothes. And all of a sudden everybody realized it was safe to say that. And the king himself, because of the words of a saint or of a young person. But it's going to bring us, because we're going to do communion. But I really feel that what we deal with, what the trial comes in our life, is with ourself and our pride. We want to be in control. I want to control my circumstances. I want to help other people. I want to do it my way. Let's get this done my way. I'm not relying upon the Lord. The more that I do that, the farther I distance myself from the Lord. The Lord wants us to say, my bad, Lord, help me. He says, that's what I help you. Because it changes your mind. It takes all that pressure off, all that weight of trying to be approved by other people, by people that are going to hell. In many cases, is people that really don't know you. And the whole thing is you're trying to approve them. As we approve one another, this body grows together. I mean, this is a tight body anyway. Sometimes I think, why are we trying to be a different kind of church? We got a great church here. We got people that love each other, that stand together, that jump up in the middle of the night, they drive people to airports and drive them to hospitals. I mean, this is a tight group that loves each other. I mean, the Lord must look down. No wonder the presence of the Lord is here. But this is an opportunity. So let's just pray. I'm going to ask the Lord to, and let the Holy Spirit, if you have any fear, you have any pride, because pride is the flip side of shame. So if you have any pride or shame, it's a good chance to give them to the Lord and have him give us his peace. Amen? Father, we just praise your name, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your love, Lord. That each one of us might be in a different place, and we all are. In the same place, but different people. You created us, each one of us, uniquely. What might be a trial to one person is a victory in another's life, Lord. That we would be receive your gift of humility to be able to share our lives with one another, to be able to pray for one another, to walk as free men and women in the kingdom of God, enjoying a relationship with you. I just felt the spirit of peace hit me and hitting people here. That your peace would be upon us, Father, in areas that we judge ourselves and judge others. But there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And we abide in you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yeah. Well, it's interestingly enough, we can get ready for communion here. We have the last of the old as the prefab communion. Thanks. But you know, interestingly enough, Jesus is in the Gospels, and he's telling people to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. You know what the reaction is? I'm not hanging around with this guy. We're not cannibals. I'm out of here. I'm gone. No, and they left. They left. So finally, on the Last Supper, he takes this bread and he says, okay, you guys are not going to actually eat of my flesh. You're going to eat of this bread. And they said, oh, okay, I can do that. And we're going to drink this wine. Oh, yeah, I'll take a double. Give me the liter glass full. I want to drink a lot of the blood of the Lord. So they understood that, and the condiments come in many forms. I was thinking about when I was sitting there, how many different kinds of things have I had for communion? Being camping and things, whatever you have, just trying to figure out what you're going to eat and drink and have a communion with the Lord. Well, this might be the last season of these particular condiments. And when you get them, make sure you pull the tab all the way back. Somebody just showed me how to do that. I think it was Deacon David back there. Pull the tab all the way back, and that'll separate it so we can get it. And so I'm going to bless this. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the invitation, Lord, to be one with you. So bless this, Lord. Bless this communion, just as you bless the fish and the bread. That we may be fed, Lord, and that we may feed one another in your holiness. For you have called us holy and righteous. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, boys, why don't the young men lead this group? Come forth. Come forth boldly and take your communion.
In our life, we will always face trials and difficulties that strengthen us, that teach us, that humble us, and that help us to serve you more fully.